I'm going to be reading the scripture. Today it's Colossians 3, 12 to 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity.
I am honored to join you this morning. At Bosler, whenever Fred, our pastor, goes on vacation, he asks individuals from the church to share. And so that's where I started digging more into scripture. I have accepted a few times to preach at Bosler, and I really enjoy having the excuse to dig much deeper into the Word of God than I feel I often have time for as a stay-at-home mom. So I am excited to share again this morning on a similar topic that I shared before, because it gave me more time to refine and really dig a little bit deeper into this scripture. So I hope you'll come along on the journey with me, and I am excited to share with you this morning. So I do ask that you turn to Colossians 3 in your Bible with me. And as I read again, I thank Tricia for getting us started in it. I want you to picture as if you're getting dressed in the morning. I am a visual learner, and it's me when I have something to picture as I read along. And so we're going to pretend we're getting dressed in the morning. Earlier in this same chapter in Colossians 3, Paul tells us to get rid of our sinful nature, to actually put it to death. And so if you pull this idea out further, you can think of you took off your old clothes, maybe the clothes that you were out doing your gardening in, and now we're putting on our new clothes. So read along in Colossians 3, starting at verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. This is a very powerful image, taking off the old clothes or our sinful nature and putting on the new clothes of the Spirit. This morning, we're going to really focus on putting on love. And you'll see that's what I titled it this morning, Put on Love. This list of virtues that Paul uses are virtues for us as the body to live together. It's for our communal living, kind of a how to get along. So as we look at each of the virtues, they each make sense to live together in unity. And so, focusing on the love, I assumed that Paul was talking about the brotherly love, or if you're familiar in the Greek, the Philadelphia love, brotherly love. So as I dug a little bit, we're going to go a little bit into Greek. I hope you can stick with me. I hope it'll be fun for you. I was surprised to find out that Paul did not use Philadelphia love in this list of virtues in communal living. This love in Colossians 3 is actually the agape love, the love of God, the love that sent Christ to die for our sin, the perfect love that is in 1 Corinthians 13. So what is the agape love of God doing in our list of virtues to put on for communal living? As I thought more about it, And I tied it into relationships, not just communal living, but our relationships. This is the loop that I came up with. And see if it makes sense for you. We receive the agape love from God in our relationship with God. That love, agape love, guides our relationships with each other, which encourages others' relationship back to God. So we receive the agape love through our relationship with God. It encourages our relationship with each other. And it encourages others' relationship back with God. So this morning, let's go through each part of that and see how in each relationship we can put on this agape love. First part, we receive the agape love through our relationship with God. In the beginning of what we read in Colossians 3, verse 12, it says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved." That starts our relationship. We are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. To fully understand the weight of those words, I want you to imagine that you are one of the Gentile Christians receiving this letter from Paul. You're one of the first of the new Christians after Christ. During that time, these specific terms that Paul uses were only used for Jews, those in the nation of Israel. And here, Paul is writing his letter to you as a Gentile Christian, new to this faith. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, you are God's chosen people, His chosen person. In 1 John 4:10, it says that this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for His sin, for our sins. So this agape love originates with God. Our relationship begins with the gift of salvation in Christ. So it comes from God and is shown through Christ. How do we receive that? Romans 5:5 says, God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. So the gift of the Holy Spirit is the continuing gift of agape love. So we put on love in the original relationship with God. We first receive that salvation of Christ. That is our first witness of agape love. And then the continuous love comes from our Holy Spirit connection. And the way we put on love in that is we ask and we pray for the continued Spirit pouring into us. Paul wrote to the different churches that they would have this agape love. In Ephesians, he tells them to be rooted and established in agape love. Philippians, he tells them to be abounding in agape love. In the Thessalonians, he tells them that this love, agape love, he prays for it to increase. So our relationship with God is our source of agape love. This agape love is not just meant for us to hold and just keep telling people, oh, we're loved by God. We're loved by God. It is meant to guide how we act with each other. As if we are a pitcher holding this life-giving agape love, and it's meant to be poured out to each person that we're in relationship with. In 2 Corinthians 6:24, it says that we are therefore Christ's ambassador. He is no longer physically here, and so we are here to continue his work. So back in Colossians, it tells us to put on these virtues, to clothe ourselves with these virtues. So we are going to take a very quick look at each one and how they differ from our earthly sinful nature, that we are called to take off the sinful nature to put on these virtues of the Spirit. I'll give a quick definition of each and what I feel would be the opposite or our sinful nature. And then an example of how we could put on love instead of our sinful nature. The first in the list is compassion. And compassion is described as an emotion from the heart that translates into an action for another person. So this is not just the feeling of sympathy or empathy. It takes it to the step of an action. This is the compassion that is being listed here. It seems like the earthly tendency for me would be to judge someone who's in need, to have a judging spirit and asking the questions, what did they do? Why are they in that position? It reminds me of the story in John 9 where Jesus and his disciples meet a gentleman who was born blind. And the very first questions the disciple asks are, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? That is very close to some of the thoughts I have whenever I hear a need. What happened that this is happening? But Christ's response is, neither. This man is blind to show the work of God in his life. That was Christ's compassion. Oh, that I may have Christ's compassion. Next is kindness. Kindness is regarding a neighbor's good as dear as my own. Regarding a neighbor's good as dear as my own. Very quickly, I think of selfishness in myself, keeping me from being kind, making sure that my good is being taken care of first. In my household with my three children, I am often asking the question, are you being kind? It's often responded with, no, but I... How quickly we validate because we wanted something. Well, we had it first. How easy it is for me to protect my own good. There's a lot of hype in our society about random acts of kindness where you go out and do something for a complete stranger. And these are really great and they get the attention of the receiver. But I can't stop noticing in our definition the relationship piece that is brought out regarding my neighbor's good, those closest to me, as dear as my own. So what acts of kindness can I do to those closest to me to ensure their good? Humility. The Greeks of the time did not have a word for humility that did not mean servitude or below. Every Greek word of humility meant you were lower than those around you. So Paul kind of made up his own word because he didn't like that to use. And Paul's word has two pieces of the meaning. The first is the divine humility that we are created beings before God. The other part is that all of us are children of God. So again, being a very visual person, this is how I see it, that our humility in Christ is not making us lower than our neighbor or our sister or brother in Christ. It is bringing us back down to the level of humanity. So it's easy to see how pride becomes our opposite of humility. I personally fall prey to this far too often. I use that comparison game to make sure I'm okay. Well, I'm not as bad as that. I would never do this. And so it would help me to remember that first part, coming into the divine presence, that I am a created being, that God is my holy God, and it does not matter where I am on the comparison game. Gentleness is the next one, and I found this to be a very interesting definition, where it is when you are angry at the right times, but never angry at the wrong time. I find myself in my humanness to react at people, react at situations, instead of responding to, taking the time to respond to a situation. I've come across a few mantras that I'm trying to implement that is taking off of an old way of reacting to people and trying to put on a way of responding to people. When I want to yell about what's going on to be heard, I try to whisper, bring my voice low. When I want to rant and rave about something terrible that is happening right now, I need to stop and make a request of how I would like something to be going differently. Very small ways of responding instead of reacting. My least favorite one is patience. And I don't feel we really need a definition for patience. I find that this is one I struggle with often. One definition puts it in very easy to understand terms. It is the grace of one who may have had the right to retaliate, the right to retaliate, but chose to exercise patience instead. When I look at the times that I become impatient, I find that it's when I feel I am not in control. I'm not able to control the people around me, and so I become impatient. So, it is in remembering that I am not in control. God is in control, and I need to wait on Him. So these seem to be a little heavy. It can seem like a daunting task as a Christian to put on these traits every morning and then get down on ourselves when we mess up and let our humanity come through once again. But in bringing this morning, I don't want to focus on tearing ourselves down and focusing on how we're not doing it right. I want to give the hope that is in these verses. It shows us that we can, in Christ, rise above the daily struggles that it is to live with each other in relationships. We are able to put on God's agape love for others around us. The end of our verses says, to put on love, for it binds all these together in perfect unity. And so how do we put on love in our relationships with one another? One habit that I've started is to pray for God's love to fill me for those who I know I will come in contact with that day. Because the thing is, my love doesn't cut it. If I'm honest, my love is conditional. If I look at it, my love will not extend to the end of the day. I need God's agape love for these people that I am in relationship with, because it is His love that is unconditional. It is His love that is pure, and it is His love that will make it to the end of the day. I also have found that when I'm finding myself leaning towards my human tendencies, those are my reminders to come in confession, not to beat myself up. I appreciated the adult Sunday school class this morning was about confession and the healing that there is in God as our loving Father who wants to make us whole, who wants us to be His vessel in the world of His agape love. And when our humanness, our sin is in the way, that is our reminder to come to the healer, come to the cleanser, so that we can show that pure agape love. So we receive God's love in the agape love through our relationship with God. It guides how we act with each other. It also encourages how others respond to God. Hebrews 10, verse 24 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." I think about people in my life who are more mature in their faith and how they've spurred me on in my own faith journey. They didn't do so by rebuking the bad things I was currently doing. That doesn't always settle well with me. But it was always thinking to myself, oh, I need to be more kind like this person. Or I wonder what so-and-so would do in this instance. So I feel the need to be surrounded with people who live out the character of God. Because it's one thing to read our scripture, memorize it, and understand it, but it's very powerful to have someone as an example for me to follow. And Paul gave those examples, reminding the church in his letters to follow the example he left for them. And now I feel I need to make a huge caution when I say these things. We are not to replace the one with the other. I still need to know the scripture. I still need to know what the characters of God are. Because we are sinful people. We will continue sinning until we are called home in heaven. And so that is why I cannot base my convictions on people and individuals. But they can serve as a very concrete reminder of what love is. Another example Paul gave was in Romans 14, where he speaks about disputable matters. These are things that the church can disagree about and sometimes argue to the point of hurt. The specific one he was talking about in Romans 14 was about what they considered clean to eat. In the Old Testament, there were very strict rules of what they were allowed to eat, what was considered clean to eat. And in the New Church, in the New Testament, they found freedom in being able to eat anything. So there was a lot of confusion, a lot of clash about what they could eat as Christians. So Paul, in verse 15, says, "If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in agape love. Do not by your eating destroy your brother for whom Christ died." The heart of the matter Paul was talking about was that there was a truth Paul states that all food is clean. But they were not delivering this truth in the agape love. This seemed to be a common problem in the early church because Paul writes to the church in Corinthians on the very same topic. He says in 1 Corinthians 8:1, "Now about food sacrificed to idols, we know that we all possess knowledge," the knowledge that all food is clean, "but knowledge puffs up, but the agape love builds up." It is not only about the truth or being right, it is about love. And Paul says in Ephesians 4, why it is that love is so important in our communal living. It says, instead of beating up, instead of being right, speak the truth in love. We will in all things grow up into him who is the head of Christ. From him, the whole body, the whole church, joined together, held together by every supporting ligament, grows up and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So our growth in love is meant to be as a church, building up and supporting. This is where I need Christ's wisdom of how to speak to my neighbor. How do I speak the truth in love? Am I trying to be right? Or am I concerned about the other's relationship with God? So we receive the agape love through our relationship with God. It guides how we are in relationship with each other. And ultimately, it will encourage others in their relationship with God. So at our church, we talk about the so what of the message. So what are you going to do? So I encourage us in each area to put on love. Put on love in our relationship with God by first accepting that salvation relationship and then continuing to ask for the Holy Spirit to pour love in us. To put on love in our relationship with each others by placing on these virtues as God's chosen people and to be able to pour out agape love on them and to put on love so that others are encouraged with their relationship with God. May we put on love this week.